MZTV.
Kids. Oh no, that's not what we want. 1783, baby. You got it, baby. You got it, baby. Cut it down. You got a kid. Here we go, kid. You got a kid. Vocast should run on. Here we go now. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I got a heck of a show for you today. Heck of a show. I could go 90 minutes today, but by the grace of God, my recording program on my computer shuts down after 31 minutes. So that's a built-in limiter. God has given me a built-in limiter. Let me ask you this question. Do you want your expectation to die? Here's what you do. You go to Clyde Pilkington's website. And your expectation of being snatched away to meet Christ in the air will die. Your expectation of seeing Christ in your lifetime, of any moment, the return of Christ happening, that expectation will die. And you'll be like my friend Dean Wilkinson, who has settled for death, who says he's at peace with death, who now looks forward to death. Death is assured for him because Clyde Pilkington teaches that everyone in the body of Christ must die. See, you think I've been mean before? No, I've been Mr. Nice Guy. I've been Mr. Polite. I've been Mr. Respectful. But people's expectations are being crushed unlawfully by someone who is breaking laws of language and laws of scriptural interpretation at will, doesn't even care, leaving wreckage behind him and not even looking in the rearview mirror. It's a mess. Documented. I've documented over and over again how wrong Clyde Pilkington is with this Acts 28 thing, that half of Paul's letters aren't for you. 1 Thessalonians, where the snatching away appears, is not for you. Hell, Romans isn't for you. It's all for Israel. I'm not the only one who has blown up the Acts 28 fallacy. Aaron Welch has done great work here, shown the foolishness of it, a teaching invented by Charles Welch. Your expectation will die. I can't send anybody over there to watch Clyde anymore. 12 of his 14 sects, I'm not saying he invented the sects, but he promotes them. 12 of the 14 will blow up your expectation, and there are a few of them that will endanger your marriage. And this is where our split comes up. I'm not going to get to it today. And I'm going to talk about this. People don't like me talking about this, but I'm going to talk about it. Because the more I talk about it, the more comments come up. And I got comments yesterday that were so valuable. And before people deleted them, I hurried up and I cut and pasted them. And I have really good evidence from people that supports my hypothesis of why certain people are afraid of the snatching away, why they look for teaching that undoes the snatching away, even though the teaching is absolutely ridiculous, like the Acts 28 position, or the premillennial kingdom position, or the everyone must die position. I have posited before that people who have families, people who are emotional, people who are soft, people who fear God in a bad way, people who think that they can take better care of their families, some control freaks out there who think they can take better care of their families, they can take better care of their pets than God can, they really don't want to be snatched away. It scares them. It's too unexpected. They don't want it to happen anytime. They want to stay home. And some people have said, Martin, you're just guessing at that. But I have two letters, two posts in yesterday's video that support this, and these people don't even realize they're supporting it. They're criticizing me. Somebody wrote me today and said, Martin, you're really taking some hits. And I said, oh, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. These posts are fantastic because they're displaying what I've been saying. They're proving what I've been saying. I am convinced there is a large group of people, and God bless you, even some in the body of Christ. And don't think I don't feel this as well, that we're, you know, you're a little bit trepidatious. You don't want to leave your loved ones. You know the tribulation is coming. And yet, because of the vast faith given to you by God, you trust God. And you can read. And you can read 1 Thessalonians 4. And it is a construct. It is an artificial, diabolical, maniacal, even fantasy that would invent teachings like the Acts 28 teaching, which says half of Paul's letters don't belong to you. Therefore, an earlier dinosaur, prehistoric version of the body of Christ that's long extinct. The only letters you need are the ones Paul wrote from prison. Those are the letters for the mature body of Christ. And no one who is mature in the body of Christ is looking for the snatching away. No, that would be so immature. The only problem with that is no one knows which letters Paul wrote from prison. And that's vital for the Acts 28 position. You need to know, because Acts 28:28 is when Paul was in jail in Rome and he declared that to you. I don't want to get into it. I've got into it before. But the very first Acts 28:28 to you was dispatched. Let me just go to it just ever so briefly. The coveted, the holy, the unapproachable Acts 28:28 position upon which is built this farce that has been picked up by Clyde Pilkington, passed on to his protege, Stephen Hill, and believed by some unfortunate people who are now robbed of their expectation, but who are looking forward to dying. They're more comfortable with dying. They're more comfortable with their deathbed, surrounded by their families. I get it. Than they are with rising in the air to meet Christ. Let it be known to you then that to the nations was dispatched this salvation of God, and they will hear it. According to this teaching, the nations are, Paul is just now beginning his ministry at age 110 or however the hell old he was, just now beginning his ministry. And so everything he said before is to the prehistoric body of Christ. Actually, it's to Israel. Don't pay any attention to that man behind the curtain there. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Acts. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Romans. Hello. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, Galatians. Forget about it. That's for the extinct people or the present day Israel. Acts 28:28. To the nations was dispatched. It already happened. It happened in Acts chapter 13. There's your line, ladies and gentlemen. There's when the body of Christ started, Acts chapter 13. Many, many, many years, dare I say decades, before these clowns, these inept, bumbling, causing car crashes and not even looking behind them to see the damage they're doing, people. And I'm so ticked off about it because friends of mine are losing their peace. I can't send anybody over here, over to Clyde Pilkington. Too many fuck-ups, huge fuck-ups, big time. Half of Paul's letters are not for us. Let's go back. I got a bunch of things lined up here. I'm telling you, I could do a 90-minute show. Let's go back to the letter Steve wrote. Steve, a friend of Clyde's. Of course, I'm a friend of Clyde's, too. Steve, not too happy with me, and I will show you what I mean here as soon as I find the letter. It's good to take a breath here. I recently came across this video, mine, that harshly criticizes my friend and brother Clyde Pilkington. The speaker describes Clyde as the most sectarian man in modern church history. Well, he might not be that, but he might be. He's in the running. And proceeds to list 14 teachings, many of which are inaccurately represented. I don't think so. As evidence of his divisiveness, I want to offer a kind and thoughtful response, not to argue or attack. Why not argue? Argue, brother. Arguing's okay. We're mature. We can argue. It is said in the scriptures 11 times that Paul argued with the saints, argued. So it's good. But to clarify, hopefully invite a better conversation rooted in grace. My conversation is rooted in grace. You're assuming that my conversation is not rooted in grace. It is, but it's tough grace. It's tough love. It's drawing a line. It's caring for the flock. I don't want anyone. Oh, somebody said, don't you think people can find the truth by themselves? They need you to tell them what's right and wrong. Well, you see, I got this 5-day-a-week show that I've been doing for 8 years, and I've got over 3,000 videos on YouTube, and it just so happens that I teach this stuff. So what do you want me to do? Of course people can figure it out on their own. But I'm helpful. I'm a helpful guy. I've been doing this for a long time, and so I'm a helpful guy. Who says that I say people can't figure this out on their own? Of course they can. I'm an aid, like a teacher's aid, like a whiteboard, like a PowerPoint presentation in a blue sports jacket. Ah, my God. First, let's begin with the tone. Clyde Pilkington is not a perfect man. Although there's a revelation. I didn't know that. Thanks for telling me that, Steve. But I've known him for years, so have I, and I've seen his heart, so have I. And I will tell you this, I should have said it before, Clyde's heart is in the right place, completely in the right place. He's just naive. But this man's heart is absolutely, completely, and totally in the right place. He wants nothing more than to do the right thing. This man, Clyde Pilkington, does not get up in the morning thinking of how he can create a sect or promote a sect or deceive the saints. No, it's the absolute farthest thing from the truth. He's just naive. He's a little bit on the simple side. He's not super critical when it comes to analyzing certain teachings. I think he likes to be a bit of a maverick and to go against the grain. Well, we all want to go against the grain of the world, the grain of organized religion, but we don't want to go against the grain of the truth of foundational teaching. But it's fashionable, you see, to go against the grain of the Concordant Publishing Concern, because the Concordant Publishing Concern, they're the old folks. That's the old folks' home. That's the man. Okay. And you do want to go against the man. You want to be cool. And it's just super cool to disagree with the Concordant Publishing Concern, to go against A. Enoch, who translated the Concordant version. He's the man, you see. And you got to stick it to the man. And if you stick it to the man and you stand out, then it proves that you're not a sucker, that you're not a lay down rug for the man. You're not a sycophant to the man. And so you can stand out, and it's kind of a thing of pride to stand out from the Concordant Publishing Concern. You have a belief different than the Concordant Publishing Concern. Good for you. That means that you're not a suck-up to A. Enoch or James Corm or Dean Huff. You're not a sycophant to Tony Nungesser. You have your own mind. Congratulations. As if embracing the scholarly work of the Concordant Publishing Concern over 100 years indicates that you don't have your own mind. As if to say that your own mind, you and me, we can't, as independent seekers, find the work, discover the work that someone else has already done, refuse to reinvent the wheel, and embrace the truth. That proves that we're sycophants. That proves that we're trying to suck up to the Concordant Publishing Concern. Oh, but it's fashionable. And nowadays, it's fashionable to go against Martin Zender. See, I'm the new face of the Concordant Publishing Concern. And now, it's cool to make a video against Martin Zender. In fact, if you put my name in the subject line, it's guaranteed you're going to get views. Because I'm so popular, you see? I'm a celebrity. I'm famous. And everybody wants to go against Martin Zender. And if you agree with Martin Zender on most things, and I'm just a mouthpiece of the truth, I learned almost everything I learned from the Concordant Publishing Concern. But if you disagree with Martin Zender, you're cool, man. You're cool. Because now, I guess I'm old enough to represent the man, to represent the old school, to represent the mainstream, even though our mainstream is so far from the Christian mainstream, it's laughable. Let's go back to this statement, Clyde Pilkington is not a perfect man. I'm glad that was said. Because I was under the mistaken impression that he might be. But I've known him for years, said Steve, and I've seen his heart. I lived with him. Bro, I know him better than you do. I lived with him for 2 years. I know his heart. He's not interested in starting sects. No, he's not. I agree with you 100%. He hates sects. He would not admit that he's backing a single sect, and yet he's backing 14 of them. And one of these days, on one of these shows, I'm going to get to them all. Boy, have I got some information for you that you've never heard before that's going to blow your mind. He's not interested in starting sects. No, no, he's the most innocent dude I've ever met, Clyde Pilkington. I love the man. He rescued me in 2012 or 2013 from a harrowing situation I had living in Colorado, and I had no place to go, and he gave me a home. And that man and I have wept together. We've studied the scriptures together. We drank wine together. We smoked cigars together. In the morning, he would come up and he'd give me a big kiss on the neck. He was a hugger and a kisser. He'd kiss you on the neck. It was a holy kiss. It was a beautiful thing. And I love this man. Oh, he has a heart of gold. He is an excellent father. He's an excellent husband. And in the salvation of all, he's an excellent student. In the sovereignty of God, he's an excellent student. And the fact that Paul does have a separate ministry, he's an excellent student. But he goes too far. He overreaches himself. He goes beyond his capabilities to get into some strange territory that, because he's Clyde Pilkington and he has a reputation, oh, hell yes, he does. This is why I talk about him. He has a reputation. He's as famous as I am. I'm saying all this facetiously, of course, you know, but you know, I mean, we do have a reputation in the body of Christ, but people gravitate toward that. Now, Clyde, when he was in the Baptist church, he was a BMOC, man. He was big man on campus. He had a following, and he still has a following. He's an excellent speaker. Some people don't like it when he gets all Baptist. You know, you can take the man out of the Baptist church, but you can't take the Baptist church out of the man. And I've been to many, many, many conferences with Clyde Pilkington. And when he gets going, he can get kind of Baptist-y. And I say this to you. I used to stand on the corner and tell everybody, you're going to hell, and your mama's going to hell, and your mama's mama's going to hell. I used to talk about how I used to preach at the docks, on the docks in Newport News, Virginia. Oh, Clyde, he could get Baptist-y. Some people don't like it because he gets loud, very loud. Blow your eardrums out, that Clyde. But, ooh, passionate, man. Let me tell you something. Passionate. Passionate. Love the guy. He gave me a home. Well, he gave me a home for 6 months, and then I started paying rent. He was very gracious to me, and I had to start pulling my weight, which was only fair. What a great family. I love his family. I love his kids. Look at a man's kids, and you'll tell a lot about the man. The man's sons and his daughters, they're just sterling people, absolutely sterling. I know him. I can vouch for him. This is one of the purest-hearted men I've ever seen. He has a purer heart than me. He just fucks up some very, very important scriptural topics. And I will name them coming up. And I will prove it. It's very simple to prove it. Oh, and you know what else I have? Oh, my God. Mark Haukes, the pirate. He came with a verse. And I got it. And I'm going to show you. I'm going to blow it up with one stroke. It was a nice try. And then get this. What's his name? The Intimidator? No. Truth Igniter. No. Faith Igniter, Richard Golko. He said, I got my one verse, and he brings a verse. When you see what it is, you're going to, okay. Nice try, gentlemen. Swing and a miss, but it's educational for all of us. I'm going to get to that. And when you read these letters, wait till I read these letters to you, these comments, I hurried up and copied them, cut and pasted them, so that they would still be there, so that after these people read my responses, they wouldn't hurry up and delete them. But you know what happened? I think, I can't be 100% sure about this, but I'm pretty sure Golko deleted his verse after my comment, because I couldn't find it after that. And I hadn't cut it and pasted it yet. I hadn't copied and pasted it yet. Golko deleted it, I think. Golko deleted his proof verse. Where do you see it? But don't worry, I remember it, and I wrote it down. Don't worry. back to Steve here. This is not Stephen Hill. This is another Steve, a friend of Clyde. He says, concerning Clyde, he's not interested in starting sex. Wait till I tell you what caused Clyde and me to break up. I'm going to give you the whole history. It's very interesting, and it's pertinent. I'm not just telling you for the heck of it. Some people say, get back to straight teaching, Martin. This is teaching. Believe me, this is teaching. This is meat. We're living first century drama here with these sects arising up. It's hard to say with my surgery mouth, you know, sects. This is first century drama here. You're honored to be living through this. People say, I don't like it when we argue. I don't like it when Martin's mean. Just teach the word of God. Do what you do best, Martin. Teach the word of God, please. Please. I'm going to stop watching. I'm sorry. This is good stuff. This is good stuff. I told you yesterday about the big clash between Barnabas and Paul. I told you about the Hymenaeus and Philetus who said that the resurrection had already occurred, and Paul came in and said, don't listen to these guys. Folks, this is as good as it gets. This is what they were doing in the first century, what I'm doing now, the things you're reading, the letters we're getting, all these arguments. Read Galatians, for Christ's sake. When Paul's fighting against the circumcision, trying to talk the ecclesia out of the grace of God. I don't want to hear about, this is historic what we're into. This is historic. I bet you would like it if I was the Apostle Paul. I bet you would like it then. If you were living in the first century and Paul was saying these things, you'd be like, oh, this is exciting. Folks, this is no less exciting now. We are carrying on the work that Paul started. This is good stuff. Clyde's interested in exploring scripture honestly. No. Even if that means arriving at conclusions that challenge tradition. I think he purposely likes challenging tradition. I think he goes too far. That's not sectarianism, that's integrity. No. Clyde doesn't demand that others agree with him. Well, of course not. I don't demand that others agree with me. I warn people about false teachings, about sex, about if you go over here, your expectation will die. If you want to look forward to death, and if you want to go along with Mr. Pilkington, who actually said, I have a quote here from Mr. Pilkington, in Bible Students Notebook 488, number 488, Clyde said, and I quote, direct word-for-word quote, don't waste your time imagining that you will be raptured, i.e. delivered away out of your divine training ground. It will be a costly mistake, unquote. That's from Bible Students Notebook 488. Clyde says that you are wasting your time imagining that you will be raptured or delivered away. Folks, we yearn like prisoners of war. We yearn to be delivered away. Every single prophet, every single apostle yearned to be delivered from their divine training ground. We're not going to, Clyde's under the impression, if I read this whole context of that quote, you would see that. He's under the impression that by hoping we get the hell out of here, and by the way, we're not just looking forward to being raptured. We're looking forward to seeing Jesus Christ and seeing the dead in Christ and being delivered from mortality. Clyde, he's not so excited about that. He doesn't want to be delivered from mortality just yet. Doesn't want to be made immortal just yet. Doesn't want to see Christ just yet. Doesn't want to meet the Apostle Paul just yet. Doesn't want to go to heaven just yet. No, this man has a life to live here on earth, damn it. And he's going to reach for any crazy teaching he can to artificially prolong it, to unscripturally prolong it. And if you want your expectation to die, go to studyshelf.com. It will die, and you will look forward to death, and half of Paul's letters will be robbed from you, and you'll be able, but if you want to save people, you can just marry them, and they'll be saved under the teaching of Clyde Pilkington. Yes, that's how you save people. I got more on that, but there's your quote. There's your quote. Let me read that again. Don't waste your time imagining you will be raptured, i.e. delivered away from your divine training ground. It will be a costly mistake. A mistake? To pine to see Christ? Paul talks about those who love his appearing. Clyde doesn't love his appearing. Clyde loves the current eon. That is my accusation. I figured that. He loves the current eon. It's the only explanation of why he would fish for these smelly, false teachings that would artificially extend the current eon. Of course, he doesn't think the current eon spoken of by Paul in 1 Corinthians 7 is the same eon we're in, or the same era, the current era. He doesn't think that's the same era we're in now. But it is, and I have proof. And if I had a 90-minute show, I would give you the proof. I've written 3 newsletters completely blowing up in my inimitable way, very clearly, very plainly, writing in 8th grade language. I have blown up the Acts 28:28 theory. Actually, the verse itself blows up the position. To the nations was dispatched this truth. I mean, the verse itself exposes their position. How they prop it up after that is quite a magic trick, let me tell you. It's a Houdini trick. Back to Steve. Clyde doesn't demand that others agree with him. In fact, many of the people in his fellowship and publishing community hold varying views. Well, that's encouraging. He encourages freedom of thought. Well, of course, none of us can force you. None of us teachers can force you to believe what we want you to believe. He encourages freedom of thought, not conformity. I encourage conformity. I'm not like this at all. I do encourage freedom of thought, but I do long for conformity. And so did the Apostle Paul. He wanted everyone to believe the same thing. That's ideal. I want us all to believe the same things and reject the bullshit. That's what I want. That's my goal. That was Paul's goal. That's why he said to come to a unity of the teaching. A unity of the faith, yes, and a conformity to the teaching.
I am entreating you, brethren, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all may be saying the same thing, and there may be no schisms among you, but you may be attuned to the same mind and to the same opinion. Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, Concordant Literal New Testament.
Paul is all about the teaching. Clyde is not about the teaching. Clyde is about fellowship over teaching. We're going to get to that here with Steve. He encourages freedom of thought, not conformity. I encourage conformity. That's the opposite of sectarian. Well, I don't know about that. Now to a few of the accusations. So here we go. Specific. He addresses my accusations. The body of Christ will not be snatched away. That's what I accuse Clyde of teaching, and that's what he teaches. I just read it. If you're looking forward to the rapture, he uses a Christian term. He did you notice that? He uses the Christian term, the rapture. He can't use the snatching away because then people would say, well, wait a minute. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul says is going to happen in 1 Thessalonians 4. Oh, but see, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 was not written to you. What do you mean? It's written to the nations. Yeah, but it's really written to Israel. Yeah, but it's written to the nations. Paul's an apostle to the nations, and he's writing to the nations. And no. Why? Well, because Charles Welch, back in 18-whatever, concocted, after smoking God knows what, a theory called Acts 28:28, which refutes itself in the very verse. Oh, he did. Yes, and he passed it down to a few undisciplined people who would believe it, who would want to believe it. And I think the real reason is because it does away with the snatching away. And I think that's the prime motivation here. And I'm going to read you 2 posts. Don't worry, I copied and pasted them before the people could delete them. I'm going to show you my hypothesis. It suggests that my hypothesis is correct. That it's because of family, and I get it. It's because of fear of the unknown, and I get it. It's because of not trusting God, I understand. I don't agree with any of that. I don't suffer from any of that, but I understand it. It's because of that people hold the snatching away at arm's length. They don't really want it. They're happy. Like my friend Dean Wilkinson, who used to embrace the snatching away, became happy to be done with it. Like it was a thing hanging over him. The prospect at any moment he could be taken away to be with the Lord and leave his loved ones behind. And what would happen then? Instead of just believing the word of God and trusting God to take care of the details, instead of that, this other teaching crept in like a thief and stole his expectation. Now he looks forward to death. To death. I'm going to have to continue this tomorrow. I'm looking at my time. If I could do it, I would run for 90 minutes, but I can't. So if you're still with me, and I pray to God you still are, tuning in tomorrow. I got more, lots more, loaded show tomorrow. You don't want to miss it.